Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on in a message entitled The Keys of the Kingdom. We've been looking at keys this week. And a primary scripture that we focused on was the one found in Revelation, at their chapter, verse 7. This message is sent to you by the one who is holy and true and has the key of David to open what no one can shut and to shut what no one can open. And yesterday we were focusing on the doors that the Lord can open. He has that power and authority to do so. And we also want to look at scripture at some of the places where God shuts the door. He shuts and no man opens. Remember when Noah was enclosed within the ark, when the rains began to come, he shut the floodgates of wrath that no man could open the ark when Noah was shut in by the Lord. And he also shuts the door of opportunity. Remember the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins? No one could open that door to the foolish virgins who were unprepared when the bridegroom came. And also he shuts the gates of hell. In the 16th chapter of Luke, Jesus spoke about Lazarus and about the rich man who laid at his gate. And when he died, the rich man was in hell, and the Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And he cried, this is the rich man, he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." And this is what we want to look at. Besides all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And so we see that there's a great gulf that is fixed, which no one can pass over. And now I'm going to share some interesting things just in terms of history. But in the ancient world, people thought of the realms of spiritual destiny as entered by doors, and the gods and angelic beings or demons had keys to those realms. In the New Testament Greek, the word Kleis, that's K-L-E-I-S, is used in a figurative sense to refer to the means of entry into realms of spiritual destiny. Now, let's look at some of the keys that are mentioned in the New Testament. In Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 25, it talks about a key to the sky, if you will, and that speaks of a time in Elijah's days when the doors of heaven, the sky, never opened to let the rain come down. And then, of course, in Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 6, you might recall, the two witnesses have power to shut the sky that no rain may fall. And there's the key of death and of Hades. The Jewish belief was that God held four keys in his hand: rain, conception, resuscitation of the dead, and crops. In Revelation 1:18, these are the words of Jesus: "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." The underworld has many keys because it has many doors or gates. Rabbi Akiba tells of the time when God will give Michael and Gabriel the keys to open the 40,000 gates of Gehenna, or hell. This is, of course, Jewish literature. And we know that Jesus won these keys, how many there may be, in victorious battle from Satan, the ruler of the underworld. God will open the doors of death's domain for those imprisoned inside. And having the keys of death and hell, Jesus Christ has sole authority over the bodies and souls of men. And there's also, in the New Testament, the key of the pit of the abyss. That's the bottomless pit in the King James. In Revelation 9 and 1, that pit represents a shaft or deep entrance into a region from which issues smoke, symbolic of blinding delusion. Here evil spirits are imprisoned, and in this reference, an angel has competent authority from God and the power and the permission to open it so demonic locusts can blight the earth. And then there's the key of the abyss. That's to be distinguished from the one I just shared, the key of the pit of the abyss. And that's found in Revelation 20 and 1, and that's the power to shut it. This indicates the complete supremacy of God over the region of the lost, where Satan is to be confined for 1,000 years. And then there is the key of knowledge. And here the scribes of Israel were thought of as stewards, if you will, of the treasures of divine wisdom. When admitted to office, they received as its symbol the key of knowledge, which was to admit them to the treasure chambers of the house of the interpreter, the Beth Midrash of the rabbis. The key of knowledge refers to the spiritual things of the Word of God. Remember, Jesus made reference to that. This is the knowledge of the revealed will of God by which men enter into a life that pleases God. There's a reference I'll share with you in Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 52. Jesus is speaking, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." The Lord uses the figure of the temple into which the leaders who had the ability to teach should have led God's people, but whose gate they closed and held the key with a jealous care. They prevented access of men into God's royal presence. And then we see the keys of the kingdom, and that's, I trust, a familiar passage, but I do want to share that with you. That's Matthew 16, verses 16 through 19. Let me read verse 15. Jesus saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ," an extremely important declaration, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And here in verses 18 and 19, he says, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," referring to himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Praise God. Christ had been training his disciples for this very work, if you will, ascribe, instructed in the kingdom of heaven. He was giving keys which made them teachers, interpreters, giving them the ability to bind and loose, which is a formal confirmation in words of that symbolic act. In fivefold ministry that God has given the ascension gifts to the church, there are legislative and judicial functions, administrative responsibilities in God's kingdom, which are entrusted to leadership, which again is the fivefold ministry which Christ gave to the church until we all come into the unity of the faith. In Matthew 16 and 19, The constitution of the government of the church is here expressed by the delivering of the keys, and with them the power to bind and loose, to shut or to open. And this invests apostolic authority with the ministerial power to guide and govern the church according, not to their whims or opinions, but to the rules of the gospel. Christ promises to acknowledge the proper administration of by saying it will be bound and loosed in heaven, bound or loosed in heaven. So the word of the gospel, this is the important thing to grasp, the word of the gospel in the mouth of faithful and true ministers is not to be looked on as the word of man, but what it is, the very word of God, and is to be received accordingly. That's why we don't preach opinion or our perspective, but the very word of God, which is truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then there is the key of doctrine, which is knowledge. Some things forbidden by the law of Moses were now allowed. Some things allowed were now forbidden. And the first apostles were to carry this to the world. For example, call nothing common or unclean. Remember Peter's vision about the unclean animals that came down in that cloth? Ministers preach, beloved, in God's name what is good and what the Lord requires of them. When ministers preach pardon or peace to the repentant, or wrath and judgment to the unrepentant, they are moving in this authority of binding and loosing. Praise God. Well, my time has flown, and we're going to look at yet one further key, the key of discipline. And then, most importantly, we want to apply this to our lives, to every disciple. What are the spiritual application of the keys of the kingdom? So I hope you can join me tomorrow as we bring this message to a conclusion. Until then, I do invite you to write, share your prayer requests. I do thank you for your prayers, and I'm so grateful for the faithful partners that we have had that have carried on and sustained this ministry for over 50 years. Thank you for listening. I love you. Pray for you every day. Don't forget to write, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.